Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. No one more Baltimore Positive in the group I got today. President Dick Cass of the Baltimore Ravens, as well as Don Mulder. We're at Roost Chris Pier 5. Come on back downtown, get a steak, and come on back downtown and watch some football.
Yes. Right?
So it's a perfect time for us to get together and really jump in. We did a lot of background in football and all that. I really want to get on to the business of what's happened to your business in Baltimore.
Sure.
And you know, more than that, you were talking about teaching and your daughter and being involved and kids and principals and all of this stuff. You fall in love with Baltimore, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You were
We don't live in the city. We've lived in the same house in Chevy Chase, Maryland for over 40 years now.
So you didn't have to move it?
We rented a house down in Fells Point, which we loved, but we just weren't using enough. So my wife and I still live in the same house where our two children grew up in.
Well, for you with Baltimore, though, you spend all day, every day. I've seen you all sides of town. I run into you in places.
Yeah, I'm around. I'm in Baltimore a lot. I'm in Baltimore, obviously, a lot. And my offices are in Owings Mills, but I'm in the city all the time. I mean, as Baltimore goes, so go the Ravens, basically.
Well, you come at this a different way because you came into the league, as we talked about in the first segment. There were no Baltimore Colts anymore.
No.
There was no thought there was going to be a Baltimore anything anymore. Jack Kent Cook was trying to make sure there weren't Baltimore anythings anymore.
Yes.
And you sort of flew into this thing when it was already flying to some degree, right? Like
yes.
David and Art and everyone here, Brian, Ray.
Steve and Steve heard about the opportunity to buy into the team in like the fall of 1999. And Steve called me through his bank. I had never met Steve. I met Steve when I went to a first meeting with him to discuss buying the Baltimore Ravens. That was in December 1999.
Dick, what is it that people call you when they're getting ready to buy franchises?
Well,
broker.
I'm ready to buy a franchise. Call Dick.
Well, I had just represented the estate of Jack Kent Cook in selling the Redskins to Daniel Snyder. And one of the bankers involved in that was Bank of America. And so Steve was going to call on Bank of America to help finance his purchase of the Ravens. So the Bank of America people recommended that Steve talk to me about being his lawyer on the deal because I knew the ins and outs of the NFL and how to buy and sell an NFL team.
So talk a little bit, Dick, for those who don't know, in terms of an NFL team. I think people are fascinated. And Nestor, it's something you talk about from time to time, the organization of sports. We look at Nestor's written two books on the subjects about how the Ravens are run. The Ravens appear to be this well-oiled machine that everybody sort of knows their lane, but yet everybody's willing occasionally to jump in another lane to have a discussion. So talk to folks who might not be familiar how the Raven organization runs from Steve to you to Eric to John. What's the division of labor out there?
There are lanes, but what Steve has always preached is stay in your lane, respect everybody around you, but don't be afraid to get out of your lane when it's necessary. So we meet together a lot, talk about issues. Maybe the most important weekend of the year for us is when we go down to visit with Steve when the season is over to talk about the team for next year, which guys we're going to try to keep, which ones we don't think we can afford to keep, who we might target as a free agent from other teams, just sort of talking about salary cap issues, not only for the upcoming year but for the year after that, and go through issues like that. Talk about how the last season ended sometimes and we have good discussion.
Do they get animated? Those sessions get animated?
Have you been around Steve? Steve's animated.
right.
Steve cannot argue in a low, calm voice. When you're getting an argument with Steve, his voice will elevate. And that's just the way he argues. And I'm accustomed to it. And so, there's elevated voices.
Does everybody else get calmer when Steve gets louder? Or does everybody?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, it's good. There's good discussion. It was very good discussion.
I think the fascinating part, being a guy who's chronicled the Ravens, not just on the field and what happens there, but everything off the field has been of great interest to me, and I think it's been to the benefit of our relationship that I've sat with you talking about what quartile you're in profits and where you are with club seats. The one thing you've never had to do is sell tickets. And, you know, the tickets have been there, and they've been handed. I bought PSLs. I had two PSLs and two extra seats because I believed my son was going to sit in them. My son is now 34. Yeah. My son is not going to sit in them. He is not going to be a $2,500 a year customer of the Ravens. Yeah. And I think you're looking for new customers in a way that you never have had to do as an organization or as a brand. And it's really important over the next 3 to 5 years that you pick up the next group of not Don's children, not my children who are in their 30s, but the next group of people that are going to carry this flag the next 20 or 30 years, right?
That's true. I mean, I think the, we've got a very strong PSL base. Last year in the league, we sold, as I recall the numbers, the ninth most season tickets in the entire NFL. So we still have a very strong season ticket base. It declined a little bit this year, but not much. And we were able to sell some more season tickets to make up some of the difference, but not all of it. So our season ticket base has declined a little bit over the last 2 years. I see that issue continuing to grow, in part for a lot of reasons. Number one, Baltimore is a small market. When we lose a season ticket holder, we have to find someone who's wealthy enough to buy those season tickets. And there aren't that many people who can afford to do it. So one of the things we have to do, we have to make sure that we reach out to Howard County, Anne Arundel County, even PG and Montgomery County to look for people. And we've never had to do that before, but we've started to do that in a much more aggressive way. And that will continue. We're going to have to do a lot more outreach to Howard, Anne Arundel, Montgomery and PG County to continue to fill our stadium with season tickets. Last year, even though our season ticket base declined a little bit, in terms of tickets sold, we sold 1% fewer season tickets for the entire year. So we're not in anything close to a crisis mode, but there are trends that are very troubling. And we got to sell more tickets at a time when the secondary market is really good. So a lot of young people, if they want to go to two games, they'll go onto the secondary market and buy those games.
A lot of old people do that for concerts every day, right?
Yes,
literally.
Every day. And they do it. It's simple to do. You can do it. You don't have to go into a back alley and with cash. You go online with your credit card, and it's a simple transaction. The ticket comes to your mobile, to your phone, and there you go. And you got it, and you're ready to go. you may have to pay more for the ticket. We have to get our demand up to the point where people have convinced themselves that if they want to go to five games or four games, regular season games, they better own season tickets and then maybe sell two games. We have to get back to that train of thought. And to do that, we have to up the demand. And that's, we've got to get the demand up. You do that in two ways, by outreach, which is what we're doing, and by having a really exciting product on the field. If we win, if we do well this year, we're not going to have a problem next year, I don't think, because our team will be, if we do well, it's going to be because we have an incredibly exciting offense. We'll have some star power in Lamar Jackson. It's hard to sell tickets also sometimes when you don't have star power. For years and years, we were spoiled. We had some of the greatest players of all time playing for the Ravens at their position. Jonathan Ogden, maybe the greatest left tackle of all time. Ray Lewis. Ed Reed.
You know when I know
Terrell
we're spoiled?
Yeah,
my wife just came in here, Roos Chris. You know what?
Hey, Jen.
This is when we're spoiled.
Good evening.
We're spoiled every time I fly somewhere. And I'll point it out. I'll give you my next month's worth of trips. Yeah. Ready? I'm going to go to Miami. And there's a Dan Marino thing there. And I don't know what else they've had the last week. Then we're going to go to Kansas City. Oh, yeah, they had Len Dawson. And
back now.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
They got Mahomes.
But what I'm saying is the last 20 years of here, I go up to Philadelphia. Okay, they won. That's nice. But they haven't had John Ogden and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and what we have here. What we have here is really unique and really special, I think, in a lot of ways, when you're talking about what's been built and the reason you've had to not go out and sell tickets. But all that being said, not selling the tickets, and this is where I want to come into Baltimore Positive with you. You have done every rubber chicken dinner, every crab feast, every Sandtown housing project, every time there's unrest, Ray Lewis and the Ravens. Everyone, I was with Ray Lewis having dinner the other night. The last time I was in in this room. I was with Ravens players for a Super Bowl 35 celebration, literally sitting there with Goose and Dwayne Starks. You know, the Ravens brand is like the bloodline of the community. We bleed purple in the community. So you've tried so hard at doing that, but then there's the money of it. Then there's I've got to pay to go, you know?
Yeah, but you have to do both, because what you're trying to do is develop a fan base of not just the fans who can afford to come to the games, but you really want to capture the whole community. I mean, I really think that the Ravens can be very important to the city of Baltimore. We have been in the past.
I agree with that.
You know, I think the interest in the Ravens over the last couple years has declined a little bit because, you know, fans love a winner. And we failed to make the playoffs 3 years in a row. We made it last year. And I think a lot of people jump ship. And we've got to bring them back on board. And that's our job. We've got to put an exciting product on the field. But you also have to do outreach to the community. Keep them engaged. Show them you care about this community. One of the advantages of being in a smaller market is the impact we can have. If you're in New York City, I mean, a lot of people love the New York Giants or love the New York Jets. But I'll tell you what, when we went, my wife and I went to the Super Bowl after our Super Bowl in New Orleans. The next year, we went to the Super Bowl in the Meadowlands. And we stayed in a beautiful New York City hotel. And Saturday before the game, we went out for lunch. And we were staying in Midtown. And we walked to the Upper East Side to have lunch. You didn't see any jerseys.
You would have known.
Nobody knew there was around Times Square where they had a bunch of activities. Sure. But you go six blocks away, nobody cared. Nobody cares about there's thousands and millions of people who care about the Giants, but there's so many millions of people. Overall, there's no impact. There's no people don't care about the team the way they do in Baltimore. And when you're in a smaller market, I mean there's an ownership by the fans in the market. The fans regard the team as their team. It's not Steve's team. It's their team. And we understand that. Steve understands that better than anyone. Having grown up in Baltimore, having loved the Baltimore Colts and everything about them, he understands that probably better than anyone, how important we are to Baltimore. You sort of have to run the team as though they own it, not we. And that's what we try to do. So you try to get out in the community as much as you can. I think when you get a guy, if Lamar turns out to be what we expect him to be, he's going to be like the Pied Piper in this community. He's going to bring people together of all different types. He's going to cut across race and religion, economic level, everything.
Well, the Ravens do.
They
do. I've been to two parades.
It's so much easier, though.
Including the parade you underestimated last time.
We did.
I'll never forget. I told that kid at Dick one day.
That's true. We did.
I said,
We didn't even know how big your brand was. We had no idea we were going to get that many people.
I've kidded Dick about that day because Nestor and I were down the other end of the parade with our good friend Kevin Kamenetz, and it was a great day, and the parade has gone by, and all of a sudden, I'm getting a text from my son, who you know, and he's got my grandson's after, and he goes, "Dad, I think the Ravens may have a little problem here." And I go, he goes, "Dad, it's actually getting a little scary."
I'll tell you a funny story. We won the Super Bowl. We have the Super Bowl party. We all get to bed at 6 in the morning. We have to get up at 8 o'clock to get on our team.
Beyonce
plane.
Showed up.
Yeah. It's a real problem, right?
My wife, she's still touching her backside from the bus ride. She still says her back hurts.
Yes. But anyway, we get on the plane and we're discussing, okay, we're planning a parade. And there was a bunch of us talking about it, so we decided we'd do it at the stadium. And then we thought, are we going to have enough people there? Is it going to look okay? And because we're worried that, I mean, it's not a holiday.
I remember
it's a school day.
You were having discussion whether we just needed to block off half the stadium so it didn't look empty.
And so if we are ever fortunate enough to win a Super Bowl again, it'll be a ticketed event, a free ticket, but you'll need a ticket to get in. Otherwise, we'll have no control.
I want to go back to the attendance thing, Nestor. It's got to be 5 years ago, Dick.
Well, full disclosure, by the way, we sit together at every game.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Anyway,
I don't know if the audience knows that or not.
And tell them full disclosure. Rain, sleet, snow, I'm in my seat.
He's bitching about the offense, I promise you.
I'm sure.
I'm in my seat.
You're not a Ravens fan if you haven't bitched about our offense.
Soaking wet now. But you will say, nothing makes me madder, and it would get me on what happened the other night with Luck. Nothing makes me matter.
Boone home team.
Oh, my God. And Nestor knows. I'm a pretty calm guy.
It drives you
and
nuts.
And nothing makes me crazier. But that's not where I was going. About 5 years ago, Dick, you were out in the county, and we were working on the lease and working on the expansion. You can talk a little bit about the expansion. And just as an aside, I always say, you talk about visionary, because this is before anybody was writing about it, Dick. I said to you, Dick, what keeps the owners up at night? What keeps you up at night? And you said, Don, every owner would give you the exact same answer, the home theater experience.
Yeah,
I mean, it's trying to get people off their couch.
And this was 10 years ago. I know you brought it up.
We've been worrying about that for a long time.
Right.
That's why we put so much money into our stadium. We're trying to make the stadium unique enough and fun enough that people will want to come. And we've got features at our stadium that you can't get at your home experience. I mean, we have SkyCam for every game. You can watch replays on SkyCam. You can't get that at home except for a night game.
$120 million in the stadium alone, not counting the complex?
Right, not counting the complex. Just $120 million on the stadium in the last 3 years. We've spent a total of $220 million since the stadium opened.
Wow.
And about $120 in the last 3 years.
Maybe this is a good time to bring up a tough question for you. You knew you were going to get one of these. When Angelos bought the Orioles and obviously the Ravens came, there was a deal that the stadiums were to get equal, right? Equal, equitable. We went through that last week with David Hornback, right? Equal or equitable. Every time you guys do something, you're always, and you should do this, you say, Steve did this. Steve paid for this. Right. We paid for this. The Ravens paid for this. Where are we in the deals with now hearing the Orioles? The Orioles will have a new owner. It won't be Peter moving. Something, you know, there will be something there. How does
Orioles,
that work?
The Orioles have a different lease than we do. They pay a rent, but they don't pay operating costs. So, and the rent doesn't, as I understand, doesn't cover their operating costs. So Maryland Stadium Authority then puts in the difference. We pay no rent, but we pay 100% of the operating costs year round. So we pay for everything.
So it's a zero sum for the state and for the city. They can't lose money.
The Maryland Stadium Authority does not. They don't have to pay anything. We pay for their employees who work at the stadium. We pay for the security at the stadium, both on game days, off game days. We pay cleaning costs at the stadium. We pay everything at the stadium, including we have to pay for all capital improvements except for a capital improvement fund. They put in $200,000 a year into a capital improvements fund.
And what's capital improvement at $200,000 a year? You can't buy...
You can buy some cameras.
You can buy a new bathroom.
Right. Buy security.
Maybe some paint.
No, but they... And I don't... But under the deal we recently did, they did make a commitment to us. We put in $124 million. They have committed to spend an additional $24 million over the next several years towards what I would call infrastructure projects. About 5 years ago, we in the MSA commissioned an engineering study to look at sort of the long-term needs of the stadium. And they identified a couple of things that we should be done in the next 5 years or 10 years.
Escalators were one of these?
No. These are things that have not been done yet for the most part, like a new sound system. They paid for the new sound system because that was an infrastructure project. That was identified as something by that engineering report we would need to do. They paid for that. Well, actually, we shared the cost of that. But there are other things like some of the steel needs to be painted or replacing seats, things like that that I would regard as some new wiring for some things needs to be done over time. And that is the kinds of things they've committed. They committed to spend 20% of what we spent. So if we up to $24 million, so we spent $120 million. So they're obligated to spend $24 million.
Getting into the crosshairs of this, with the Orioles having a lease up, and then you're going to have another lease 5 or 6 years after that. They were always portrayed to the media, to me. And again, I haven't poured through this. It's your deal. What would happen with the next time around? Are you really tied together, or is that not just a perception?
No, it's different. I mean, our lease expires. We have nine more years in the stadium before the lease expires. It's a 30-year lease. So believe it or not, we've been in M&T Bank Stadium 21 years.
It's incredible.
It doesn't even compute.
It doesn't. I agree. Right. It's unbelievable. So we've got 9 years left. At some point before the lease expires, we'll sit down and talk to the Maryland Stadium Authority about extending the lease. I'm sure we'll do that, and we'll talk about what we're going to do, and we'll ask them what they're going to do.
But they didn't have an obligation to do the same for baseball and football as a civic. Forget you or Steve or Peter.
No, it's different. The leases are different. I wish we had their lease in many ways.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, theirs came first, kind of.
Theirs came first, and I think it's a more favorable lease than ours. I'm not complaining about it. We're delighted to have our lease. That's just a fact. And it's a different lease.
Dick, what makes you've done this for a long time now. We talked about Jerry Jones, Jack Kent Cook. You're at all the owners' meetings. You're interacting with all these folks. What, forget names. I'm not looking for names. What characteristics, what makes a good NFL owner versus an owner who just can't get out of their own way?
Well, I think if you looked at Steve, I would say he's a good NFL owner. I mean, he's very involved in important issues. He's not as involved in other issues. He hires people. He trusts the people he hires to do their jobs. But he's always there. And we don't do anything significant without getting his approval. And he gives input. He critiques. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. He's very direct, which I appreciate. Everyone who works for him, I think, appreciates the fact that he's direct. He has good relationships. I think one of the important things is we don't have a hierarchy. I mean, I've seen organizations where, you know, the president doesn't want the owner to meet alone with the head coach, or he doesn't want the owner to meet alone with the GM, or the owner doesn't want the GM and the head coach to have a conversation.
That's a silo, right?
And we don't do that. We just don't do that. And Steve doesn't want that to happen. He wants free communication. So he talks to whomever he wants to. He has access to whatever he wants. He's not a kind of person who likes meetings very much. So he's not as involved in some of the meetings that some of the owners have. But I think he's a great owner. He gives us the money to win. He's running our organization to put a winning product on the field. He cares about winning more than anything else. If I didn't watch the money, I don't think, you know, I think that's one of the things that I do. Because he wants to win, period.
So the budget could get a little out of whack if somebody like you weren't saying, Steve, that's a great idea, but...
No, I don't want to say that. I mean, he's very responsible. He just doesn't have an interest.
He's got a passion.
He doesn't have an interest in the finances. He trusts me to do it, but he cares about winning. He also cares about our reputation in Baltimore. He really cares about that. I think he appreciates what we mean to the city and what our responsibilities are to the city and the community. I mean, that's I think there are some owners that don't feel the same way about it. So we're not trying.
They're the ones that have moved franchises.
Well, sometimes, but it's also you know, if you get a community that turns on the owner, it's really hard to be successful as a franchise. It really is. You can look around the league and see situations that are made difficult because the fan base is disaffected from the owner.
I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen a community turn on an owner almost that deserved it, didn't welcome it to some degree, either through hostility or losing. I mean, we got a situation on the other side of the parking lot. I got the team president sitting next to me. I haven't been in the franchise in 14 years. How you treat people, and we talked about this before we even began today, relationships matter. They matter so much.
They do matter.
Steve had a lot of those here for all the years he was here.
Well, he still has O's tickets. We still have season tickets to the O's. We still use them. We go. I mean, we have a lot of people who want to go to the O's games. I mean, I mean, the O's are a great franchise, and I think they're. I mean, I like what they're doing right now as a fan. I'm just watching what they're doing.
It's agonizing
because it's going to take a while. But that's the baseball system. They have a different system. In the NFL, you can't have a 3-year rebuild program. You'd be thrown out on your ear. But baseball, that's what teams do. And they seems to me they're committed to it. They've got a plan. They're sticking to their plan. And I think that's encouraging for fans of the O's.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Dick, because one of the things that I think folks sense about the Ravens, and I think it's important, I think it matters, is I think they believe from top to bottom that you all care about quality at the top, all the way down to the way the
there's
fans
a credibility
being
involved in what you've done.
You see the big picture, and I think fans also believe that you guys are always trying to think and plan ahead. And I don't want to pick on them either because I love the Orioles, but I can remember saying to you clearly, Nestor, when 3 years ago, whatever, with Manny Machado.
What's the plan?
I think I said to Nestor, here's my only concern. If it were the Ravens, I would be confident, correct me if I'm wrong, that they would be in a room and they would be saying, okay, guys, here's the deal. Manny's got 3 years left. It's clear he's going to be in the $300 million range. At the end of that three, are we going to be willing to pay the three, or is that out of our league given our market? I think people are confident that's the discussion you all would have had. I don't think their discussion, I don't think they're confident that that took place in the past, but I think they're positive because I think they feel it's happening now.
Yeah.
I think somebody's getting the big picture. Yeah. But safe to say the Ravens would have that.
Well, I mean, Eric DaCosta would be a great example
You shouldn't assume that they didn't have a plan. Right. They may have had that plan, and they made a plan, and then conditions changed. And so it's hard to I think it's very difficult to look from the outside and criticize what happened because you don't really – it's hard to know. They could have had a plan they formulated 3 years ago. And then things change, conditions change.
You know,
and
fair enough.
So I don't know. I really don't know.
Fair enough.
I like what they're doing now. I think as a fan of the O's, I like what they're doing. And so I'm excited about it. I mean, it's hard to watch.
Yeah. How does it affect your business? I mean, it affects my business in that I haven't been to – I went to one baseball game in June, and they had a Christmas, and my wife broke the nutcracker gimmick they gave me, and – it's like they haven't. I haven't watched them.
We want the stadium full every night.
Well, I think
for you, it's great
with football
for the city,
starting
right.
next week, it feels like there was no baseball season to some degree. I think it really puts even more pressure
on
you guys
to win. I think it helps us when they're doing well. Remember, they had those years, many years, where they didn't make the playoffs, and then in 2012, I think it was, they made the playoffs for the first time in many, many years, and that's the year we went to the Super Bowl. And the synergy between the two organizations was great. The Orioles players would come to our games.
Well, Jones was in the locker room.
They'd show Adam on the big board.
They were sitting in Cal Ripken's suite, and we'd put them on the board and playing Thank God I'm a Country Boy, and the crowd would go nuts.
The crowd would go crazy.
We'd have the manager or somebody on the field before the game to – do the coin toss.
It makes you whole.
It was
great.
Exactly.
Here. It really
and that's
does.
What yep. that I think that's great for the city. I think it's great for both teams to have that situation. I think we actually do better when they're doing well. I don't think they're not doing well is not helpful to us, I don't think.
We'll get a break on that. Dick Cass is here, Ravens president, Don Moeller, of course, former Baltimore County executive. We're doing Baltimore Positive. We're Roots Chris. We're going to be at Jennings. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Fadley's. We're going to be all over the place. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports.